I want to read from God's Word. The 10th of Isaiah. He's been dealing with the coming of the Assyrian for some time. And he doesn't exactly move away from it in the next chapter. But I think what we have from verse 28 till the end of the chapter is almost a summary. And it begins, the text begins, and it unfolds in a very dramatic manner. I'm never too keen on using illustrations from secular films. I always think when preachers do that, they ought to read the Bibles more and watch TV less. But nevertheless, there is a particular scene in The Lord of the Rings where the ring race, these unpleasant creatures are approaching the hobbits. And both in the book and in the film, the rising fear is palpable. The sense of terror which they bring is almost tangible. And from verses 28 to 32, we have a very dramatic description of the arrival, the advent of the Assyrian army. It's effectively saying, he's getting closer. He has come to Aiath. He has passed Migron. At Michmash, he has attended to his equipment. They have gone along the ridge. They have taken up lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Gibeah of Saul has fled. Lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard as far as Laish. Oh, poor Anathoth. Madmenah has fled. The inhabitants of Gebim seek refuge. As yet he will remain at Nob that day. He will shake his fist at the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. And here we have a picture of this great mass of the Assyrian horde getting closer and closer and closer to Jerusalem. And village after village falls, and the refugees start fleeing as the Assyrian army approaches, village after town after village is being attacked and plundered until eventually they're coming to Jerusalem itself. And here we have a picture of him looking at Zion, the holy hill of the Lord, and shaking his fist at it. The hill of Jerusalem. This dreadful scourge which the Lord has raised up and Isaiah has been prophesying since chapter 8, if not before. It's here. He's coming and he's come. That's not the focus. In verse 33, Isaiah writes, "Behold the Lord." Now, if I lived in Jerusalem, I'd want to have a good look at the Assyrian army. I know they're terrifying, I know they're scary, but I want to confirm that by looking at them. But Isaiah says, "Behold the Lord." Now Isaiah, in fact, is one of the few people in the Bible to have seen the Lord in all his glory. In that sixth chapter, Ezekiel is afforded a glimpse as well. Some of the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration beheld the Lord Jesus in all his eternal splendor. John in Revelation. Actually, for most of us, we cannot behold the Lord. And yet, Isaiah says, "Behold the Lord." Perhaps through the eyes of faith, look away from the Assyrian. Mighty and terrible though he is, and through the eyes of faith, focus upon the Lord your God. Let him be the one to whom you direct your attention, even as the Assyrian is filling the land. Even as village after village, town after town is falling to him, do not look at the Assyrian, but rather look at your God. Behold the Lord of hosts. Now that is sometimes translated the Lord Almighty, the Lord of strength. the Lord of armies. The Assyrian has a very great army. The Assyrians, in many respects, were like the Vikings. Our historians don't like talking about Vikings. There was no really such people called the Vikings, the Danes and the Norse. But those people lived for warfare. A Norseman or a Dane who wasn't fighting, his peers would have thought there was something wrong with him. He's gone soft in the head. They live for warfare. The Assyrian lived for warfare. They have the most powerful army. They have incredible bands of mounted archers. So in the ancient world, most armies have cavalry. Most armies have archers. But the Assyrian developed a mounted archer who could go in, fire all the arrows, and then clear off again before you could chase them off. That's really clever. This is a dreadful and fearsome military force. And yet the Lord says, don't look at them, look at me. I am the Lord of the armies. I am the Lord Almighty. I am the Lord of hosts. Look at me. Furthermore, what will I do? I will lop off the bow with terror. Now here, I think it's a picture of Assyria. Those of high stature will be hewn down. Now, he might, of course, be talking about the Assyrian king. Certainly, Sennacherib of Assyria threatened Jerusalem. And the Lord sent him packing. And he went into the temple of his God, and his son killed him. Well, there was a man of high stature hewn down. Or indeed, is it referring to these incredibly powerful Assyrian men who make up the army? Or indeed the mounted archers? They might be fearsome, they might be terrifying, they will be locked down. Because I, the Lord, are greater than they are. The haughty will be humbled. Now, of course, it was the Lord who raised up the Assyrian, and yet the Lord has also said he would judge the Assyrian. Just because he raised the Assyrian up to chastise Israel and the other nations around does not mean that the Lord endorses everything Assyria stands for. The Lord often chooses unpleasant characters to fulfil his purpose. We see that in the New Testament as well as the Old. He will cut down the thickets of the forest with iron. Now, thickets in the forest might be hard to walk through, hard to pass through, but if you've got an iron implement, even the thickets of the forest cannot withstand you. Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. Nations will fall. It's not ultimately, though, the Assyrian. The Assyrian is but an unwitting fool, because he is fulfilling God's work, even though he does not know it. And this chapter, perhaps even the entire section, is a call to the people of God not to focus on the might of the enemy, but the might of the God whom they serve. Now, the Assyrian is no more. He was lopped off years ago. But there are haughty opponents of the gospel, both in this land and without it, who are powerful, who are clever, who are often controlling the reins of government, and they oppose everything that the Bible teaches. Just imagine if we were meeting in China tonight. Well, for a start, this would be an illegal meeting. The curtains would be closed. Somebody would keeping a lookout by the door. And the whole might of the Chinese government machinery is stacked up against us. And the message of Isaiah to us would be, don't worry about China. Behold the Lord. Now, we have opponents in our country as well. I don't think we're in as dire a state as our Chinese brethren. But there are lots of countries around the world in which born-again believers face real and determined hostility and opposition. Think of North Korea, think of Eritrea, think of all those countries in the Middle East. And there would be people in prayer meetings like ours who would be very nervous about, you know, when a car pulls up outside or a van. How many are going to come out? How many are going to come in? Take away our jobs, put us in prison. Again, what's the message of Isaiah the prophet? Behold the Lord. Well, think what you like about the current state of the government. It's not overtly antagonistic to gospel churches. But we have problems of our own, do we not? And again, the message of Isaiah is, behold the Lord. Lift your eyes up to the hills and ask yourself, who made them? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He made them. So if you spend your time looking at the enemy, you'll grow afraid and frightened. But if instead you look beyond them and you behold the Lord, such as Isaiah is urging us in that 33rd verse, when you see the Lord, the Lord of hosts, you realise that the Lord versus the Assyrian, the outcome is absolutely clear. Let's behold the Lord and all the difficulties and problems we have to face. Amen.